No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survive, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, good morning, Dr. Stan here. It's the Frank and Peter Network, and ordinarily we have Joel Skousen on Friday morning, but Joel is not available, so we have his son, Andrew Skousen, and we're going to be looking at this week's World Affairs Brief. Good morning, Andrew. What are the issues we're going to be discussing today?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Well, the news story today is about globalism in partial disarray. This week, the brief analyzes three major areas where globalism is struggling to maintain its control agenda. These three areas are the EU crisis, Japan's eagerness to unleash a wave of inflation that may spread to other Western nations, and the fanatic Muslims that globalists themselves put in power in Libya, Mali, and half a dozen other African nations, who are becoming hard to control. Joel says he's never seen a man-made crisis yet that they haven't been able to turn to their advantage. But this next year will be a real challenge for the powers that be. Globalist planners are fighting on three major fronts to keep dissatisfaction with ongoing financial excesses of their own creation from blowing up into a full-scale rebellion. While it appears that some national leaders like Britain's Prime Minister Cameron are harking back to nationalism, it is only a clever deception. Is a trap that will only lead to greater EU-UK integration. The EU is the crown jewel of regional globalism, and the powers that be will stop at nothing to keep it alive, including having one of their own in the UK masquerade as an EU critic while he plots to bring Britain closer to the fold. With all the economic problems, the EU sovereign debt, the euro has taken a justified beating, even falling against the profligate dollar. Naturally, the Euroskeptics are savoring and predicting the collapse of the European Monetary Union, but it won't happen. Prime Minister David Cameron is a globalist in sheep's clothing and unveiled some very deceptive mixed messages this week. Louise Armitstead reported on the Davos 2013 World Economic Forum for the Telegraph and said Cameron's views on Europe are murky. Cameron is clearly playing both sides. Dismissing criticism of the UK referendum in a speech in Davos, Joel says, the establishment doesn't want Britain to be able to vote on UK integration, since it would likely be defeated. The Prime Minister insisted that the EU had to be frank about its performance. He said the bloc was being left behind global competitors, leaving behind its people, and the European economy was a big looming problem. As we can see, Cameron starts out by echoing the criticism of the Euroskeptics, playing as if he is truly conservative. But his solutions are where the trap lies, Joel says. By promising a UK referendum on UK integration, something the British people have been demanding for years, in fact, Tony Blair got elected promising such a referendum and then reneged, Cameron is setting them up to vote on something that won't actually give them a choice of getting out. His remark that, quote, we are not turning our back on Europe, quite the opposite, end quote, is proof of that intent. In another display of disingenuous behavior, he said, quote, Monetary printing is theft from our children, end quote. And yet he continues to condone it in Britain as well as in the EU. Moderate inflation is still theft, Mr. Cameron. Continuing with a quote, in a passionate and energetic address to the Davos World Economic Forum, Cameron said Britain would use its G8 leadership to drive changes on tax, trade, and transparency. Joel says, by tax policy, Cameron is pushing for more taxes, not less. The promise of transparency is the bait that will never happen. Continuing the quote. Anticipating criticism for business bashing, Joel says in his prior speech, he insisted he was as pro-business leader as you can find. I yield to no one in my enthusiasm for capitalism. This is a vision of proper companies, proper taxes, and proper rules for the good of people across the world. End quote. Then, of course, he launches into an attack on tax avoidance, Joel notes. The inevitable and just consequence of ever increasing tax. In a recent example, wealthy French movie star Gerard Depardieu shocked France by giving up citizenship and moving to Belgium, and then even accepting Russian citizenship at the invitation of Vladimir Putin, who is never one to miss an opportunity to cause embarrassment. Yeah. Continue with the Telegraph quote. Declaring that aggressive tax avoidance was a problem for all countries, not just for Britain, he said the G8 needed to work together to stop the traveling bandwagon of lawyers and consultants from moving on once tax loopholes are closed. In a thinly disguised dig at international conglomerates such as Starbucks and Google that avoid corporation tax in the UK, Mr. Cameron said, companies that don't pay their taxes must wake up and smell the coffee. Customers won't put up with it. Quote. Joel says, consumers won't put up with it? The only quote-unquote consumers who rally for higher corporate taxes are the left-wing base that can be goaded into tax-the-rich schemes that are all the rage now. But, mind you, this is coming from a supposed conservative prime minister and shows he's a globalist at heart. Continuing with the Telegraph quote. On trade, he said he would push for a full trade agreement between America and Europe that he said would add 50 billion euros to EU GDP. End quote. Free trade agreements have nothing to do with free trade, Joel said, but are always just special concessions to major corporations and create thousands of pages of rules implementing globalist commissions with new regulatory powers. Here's how Cameron is going to fool Britons into thinking he is giving them a chance to vote on EU integration. He's going to first cement the current EU-British relationship by encouraging a tighter EU fiscal integration, by keeping Britain out of the euro. Oh, but still keeping Britain out of the euro. This is how I see it, Cameron says. Just over half of EU countries are in the single currency. You move toward the banking union, toward the fiscal union, and that has huge implications for those of us not in the euro, like the UK. And we are frankly not likely to ever join. Even though the Brits still use the pound, which used to be the pound sterling until they removed silver backing, they have acceded to thousands of EU regulations which restrict hundreds of free market business practices in Britain, which are very unpopular. Cameron is not giving the Brits a referendum on breaking those ties, only to not joining this new banking and fiscal union in Europe, which he says is ultimately good for both. He said, it is not just right for Britain, it is right for Europe. So while the Brits may be tricked into thinking they are finally going to get to vote on EU integration, they are only going to vote against further EU integration. And it won't matter if they vote it down, as expected. British leadership will be back with more later. Once Cameron and his globalist cronies in France and Germany get fiscal union in the EU, additional crises will allow some future British prime minister to goad the UK into eventual full EU integration.
All right, hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for a Mikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, Dr. Ann here, and with us this morning is Andrew Skousen, and he's certainly covering the latest World Affairs brief put out by his dad, Joel Skousen. Now, what is the basis of America's foreign policy? It's creating a world government and destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. That's why we have our troops in 130 nations, why it was announced just 2 weeks ago we were going to send additional American troops to 35 nations in Africa. How is that going to defend America? Why are we sending our troops into Africa? Why? Because the people who control America and control both of our political parties, our media, our financial system, they want a world government, and they're using the financial and military power of the United States to bring that about. And everything you hear and read and see on television is simply to conceal that truth from you. Now, over in England, and because there's a partnership between England and America, and it is the Anglo-American movement that is working towards world government, I mean, the people don't want it. The people in other nations don't want it. But a small clique of very wealthy and powerful and evil people do, and they create wars and genocides, and they finance communism and Nazism, and they're financing communism in China today, communism in Russia today, and they're bringing all the basic tenets of communism to America so the government will provide for us from the cradle to the grave, provide our health care. Of course, they're going to have to kill off the elderly because they don't have money to do it. But so what Andrew is doing, of course, is pointing out that the Prime Minister of England, David Cameron, pretending to be a conservative and pretending to have his loyalty with England, which is not, is saying to the English people, we're going to let you vote upon continued membership in the European Union. Now, the European Union is to establish the United States of Europe, a stepping stone along with the United States of Africa, of Asia, of the Middle East, all of these United States, as it were, joining together nations. Then eventually, once these clinical entities are established and doing away with national sovereignty, then they'll merge them into the world government. Cameron is pretending to be concerned against the European Union, which he's really not, but saying, we're going to let the English people vote, but I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that that vote will have no meaning. England is going to stay in the European Union, and this move towards world government is going to continue until eventually why the world ruler is installed. For those who are Christians, that's the Antichrist. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Good. So we were talking about the Brits probably going to vote down EU integration and how the The British leadership keeps bringing this up and tricking the people into staying, and even we think eventually becoming fully part of the EU. The Brits may not ever give up on the pound, but that alone won't stop integration by banking control. One of the underlying reasons why Britain will most likely never fully integrate with the EU is that the City of London, the small city of city within a city, has been the financial control center of the Anglo-American establishment for centuries. They're probably not about to give up the control in favor of the EU centered in Brussels. Even Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan participated in the EU deception by falsely blaming current banking regulations for the failure of the EU to recover. As the Telegraph wrote, the J.P. Morgan boss led a powerful panel at Davos in an attack on global regulators, pouring scorn on their criticism of bank complexity. He said, businesses can be opaque. They are complex. You don't know how jet engines work either, he said. Mr. Dimon argued that regulators are out of their depth and have failed to fix the system despite having spent 5 years trying. I think a lot of regulators are also overwhelmed, he said. They're overwhelmed with rules and regulations. Unless this changes, Mr. Dimon said, it's not going to fix. It's just 5 more years of pointing fingers, scapegoating, using misinformation, and thinking we're making a better system, end quote. Joel says, Dimon is lying. It isn't the complexity of regulations at all. It's the fact that regulations simply prohibit the kind of bailout the Fed is used to doing in the States, and which the EU is doing despite the law. Behind the verbiage in the new financial reforms are full fiat money powers by the European Central Bank with the full faith and credit backing of all EU nations. And to do that, you have to give up all sovereign power over each nation's right to determine what debts they are obligated to and what not. That's what Dimon is shooting for. Under the guise of quote-unquote simplifying regulations, he wants major changes where the EU can bypass individual state powers. And that will require a change in the EU treaty. In fact, he even admits that bankers keep lending, even when it is against all sound laws of economics and the rules. Quote, he argued that his bank continued to lend to Spain and Italy, knowing that something might go wrong, because we are not a fair-weather friend, Joel says. This has nothing to do with friendship and everything to do with one globalist supporting another to keep the EU alive, whatever the cost. Dimon said, what shall we say? That it's too much to risk? We provide a service to you and that's what happens. Well, the second area is Japan is pushing the limits of inflation. Meanwhile, on the Asian front, Japan is in such desperate financial straits. Prime Minister Abe is about to ratchet up creation of the yen, which threatens to start an inflation race to the bottom, too fast and too soon. The way the system works right now is that everyone watches the Fed. The more the Fed inflates the dollar, the more room there is for other nations to inflate. If they keep it moderate, their currency stays even with the dollar. This relative stability has been carefully balanced by the Fed with under-the-table short-term loans to the EU and others in order to cover for their liquidity problem. But Japan has been in a deflationary spiral for 2 decades now and is determined to bust out. The new prime minister is giving warning that he is about to unleash significant inflation to salvage the Japanese economy, which has been hard hit by the recent tsunami and subsequent nuclear disaster. Ambrose Evans Pritchard, international business editor of the Telegraph, leading the cheer for Japan to break out of the doldrums. But it threatens to cause a currency war. Most nations are in steep recession and have a big incentive to devaluate their currency so that their exports become cheaper to others. That's where Japan is headed, but it could drive others to keep in their currency as well so as not to lose market share, therefore a race to the bottom. The nations can only discount their national production so much before they run into internal inflation, which wipes out people's savings and drives up interest rates. Starting with the Pritchard quote, the Evans Pritchard quote, Premier Shinzo Abe has vowed an all-out assault on deflation, going for broke on multiple fronts with fiscal, monetary, and exchange stimulus. To the surprise of Japanese people, their country is smack in the middle of 2 riveting dramas. That threatened to upturn the global strategic landscape in short order. On the fiscal side, Mr. Abe will launch combined national and local stimulus worth 20 trillion yen, or 4.4% of GDP. No matter that the budget deficit is already 10% of GDP, or that total financing needs are a record 60% of GDP this year. This is a near copy of the remarkable experiment in the early 1930s under Koretayo Takahashi, described by Ben Bernanke as the man who brilliantly rescued his country from the Great Depression. Joel says, deficit spending and inflation only appear brilliant when first used. Eventually, they cause a bust, which Japan has been suffering for in the past two decades. Takahashi was the first of his era to tear up the rule book completely, says Evan Spridger. He took Japan off gold in December 1931. He ran Keynesian budget deficits deliberately, launching a New Deal blitz before Franklin Roosevelt took office. Takahashi was assassinated by army officers in 1936 when he tried to tighten by cutting military costs. Policy degenerated. Japan later lurched into hyperinflation, Joel says, as it always does. But after a period of deflation, the Keynesians know it allows them to get away with another round of inflation, and that is where both Japan and the U.S. are headed, only perhaps at different rates and different timings. Evans Pritchard continues, monetarists say Japan's great mistake over the last 20 years has been to launch one spending spree after another without monetary backing, i.e. inflation. The result has been to push net public debt to 145% of GDP this year, gross debt to 245%, without reaching quote-unquote escape velocity. The Bank of Japan sat on its hands for a decade. Only later did it buy bonds, but in dribs and drabs on short maturities, from the banking system instead of the broader public, and only in a half-hearted spirit. Mr. Abe has lost patience. This time the Bank of Japan will do what it is told, the first of the big central banks to be stripped of its independence. Joel says, no, they're just being good yes-men to their own people running the government. And probably not the last. Leaks suggested that the Bank of Japan will set an inflation target of 2% this week. Joel says, they understate inflation just like in the U.S. is to be achieved by limited bond purchases, Joel says, following the Fed example. The liquidity effects of this by the world's top external creditor could be large enough to leak into everything from New Zealand bonds, Brazilian equities, and Chelsea property, a sort of carry trade on steroids, Joel says, and that could lead to higher inflation everywhere, but not hyperinflation. Evans Pritchard continues. The IMF advises Japan not to push its luck, warning that the country has reached the point where even a relatively small rise in borrowing costs, i.e. interest rates, could set up havoc. Europe's recent experience offers a cautionary tale. Once market confidence is lost, regaining it becomes very difficult, said. Mr. Abe cares not a whit about such opinion, but he is taking a huge gamble. Japan is losing its safety buffers one by one. The trade surplus has evaporated and will not recover soon after post-Fukushima closure of the nuclear industry. The savings rate has fallen to 2% from 15% in 1990. The workforce is shrinking every year, Joel comments, in large part because of the huge pension system luring people out into retirement. Needless to say, printing money has its perils too. The risk is that Japan could escape gentle but stable deflation, the devil it knows, only to see a panic flight from bonds that overwhelms the Bank of Japan. As Governor Masaki Shirakawa told the Diet through gritted teeth, long-term yields could rise, and that would be a problem for public finances, i.e. sovereign debt. Banks hold Japan's global bonds worth 900% of their Tier 1 capital. Their portfolios would be decimated if long rates punched above 2%. Japan might then face a banking disaster as well. These are the hard choices that Mr. Abe has to make. Nor can he continue to weaken the yen without irking Washington and jeopardizing the alliance on which he depends, Joel comments, and threaten the trade relationship with Europe, where Japan sells many millions of cars. His rhetoric alone has already triggered a 12% fall in the yen against the dollar and a 20% fall against the euro. He seems to be eyeing a dollar rate near yen 100. But should Japan now buy foreign bonds on a mass scale to suppress the yen, there will be trouble. Tokyo will be blamed as the aggressor in the outbreak of currency wars. Others will retaliate. Huge issues are at play here, The world's trade system is fragile. The wasting disease behind the long slump is a record-high savings rate of 24% of global GDP and too little demand to go around. Everybody wants a weaker currency. They can't all have it. Japan's great experiment cuts both ways for the rest of us. The reflation blitz helps lift the global economy out of the doldrums. The yen manipulation snatches market share, incites protectionism, and takes us into the brave new world of actively managed exchange rates, says Sir Mervyn King, as Sir Mervyn King put it last month. End of that is Christian quote. Joel says, that's already happening. What Japan is threatening is to break out of the self-imposed constraints that we all inflate moderately as guided by the dollar. Japan is part of the Globalist Trilateral Commission. So Joel doubts Japan will be allowed to get too far out of hand. He says, I expect they will allow Japan to generate an inflationary recovery, but then press her to slow it down so as not to destabilize the informal system of global financial control at work in major Western nations only. The next part of the story is about Mali terror, fomented and out of control. The third area of instability for the globalist power network is Africa, where they have unleashed another jihadist Islamic monster, spawned in the
Hold
Libya.
That thought. Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
An emergency preparedness plan for your home, car, school, and office is a must. Knowing how to store water safely, survive extreme temperature changes, provide reliable shelter, first aid, and sanitation is critical. Knowing where to get the best lights, radios, and other supplies is easy. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing realistic preparedness supplies at affordable prices. Stop by, go online, or call 303-781-0343, 866-781-0343.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Stan back here, and basically what Andrew has been talking about is the fact that Japan is going to intentionally lower the value of their currency so their products will be more competitive on the world market. They're going to try to stimulate the economy in Japan by getting other people to use Japanese goods, and they're going to get other people to buy Japanese goods because it's going to lower their price by inflating their currency, by destroying the value of their currency. And in the process, of course, they're going to destroy the savings of all of the Japanese people who've been saving their money so they would have money to retire on. But, of course, basically this is truly a diabolical program, because as Japan then lowers the value of their currency, inflates and lowers the value of their currency, other countries will do the same. We will see competitive devaluations. And, of course, eventually the whole world monetary system is going to collapse and bring chaos. But that's in the offing right now. Japan are the ones who are leading the way, lowering the value of their currency. And then, of course, we're going to be talking about what's going on in Mali and Africa in just a moment, as, of course, France is sending in their troops and America is providing air and logistics support as we attack the government of Mali. And we're going to do this all over Africa, installing people, new dictators who will go along with a one-world government. That's what we've done in Egypt. We overthrew the existing government to install a man named Morsi, trained at the University of Southern California here, an agent of the CIA imposing a ruthless dictatorship in Egypt. Before, Egypt was a secular state with relative freedom. Certainly, the government wasn't elected, but Mubarak ran a very efficient society. Now, of course, we're going to impose a ruthless Muslim state under Islamic law, under Sharia law in Egypt, and we did that. But it's the sort of thing we're going to be doing in Africa as we send our American troops into 35 nations in Africa. And the average American has no idea. They think our objective is democracy and freedom. No, ladies and gentlemen, it is taking as many countries as we can and driving them into this Muslim, this radical Islamic Muslim world in preparation for the terrible war that lies ahead. And just as we did with Nazi Germany, which we financed, we even had our corporations in Germany building the weapons to kill American boys. General Motors was there, GE was there, Ford was there, IBM, AT&T, all of the 100 American corporations financed by American banks, building the weapons for the Nazis so they could kill American boys, so we could have a great war, and then we could justify keeping our troops in Germany, where we still have 45,000 troops, keeping our troops in Japan, where we still have 35,000 troops. Ladies and gentlemen, we occupy those countries. We're not defending them. Who are we defending Germany from? We're actually keeping the governments in power, controlling the government's policy in the countries that we occupy, Germany and Japan and South Korea. But we can't let the American people know that. We think our military is being used to defend America and the world. No, it's being used to control the world and the nations of the world as we move towards one world government. Well, Andrew, before you go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to World Affairs Brief and how they can get the great books that your dad has written on secure home and strategic relocation. How can people get subscribed to the World Affairs Brief?
Yes, Dr. Sands. The best way is to log on to our website, worldaffairsbrief.com. It's all one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can check out the website. There's a direct link for signing up for the brief. There are also links to joelskousen.com, which has a listing of Joel's three books, which are The Secure Home, which outlines how to secure a new residence or rent or renovate an existing house or to include more security measures. And then Strategic Relocation was recently updated, and it is full of maps and data about North America and the world at large, and analyzing it for which are the safest places during the coming turmoil. Lastly, we are just about to revise and send out the new updated version of the High Security Shelter, which is a smaller pamphlet and outlines how to put a high security vault into a basement or an existing house. It's sort of an all-in-one package in a small room for how to attain security for yourself and your supplies during a crisis. So those three books are available from joelscalvin.com, and you can also get them through Radio Liberty, right, Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. And those three books by Joel are certainly Strategic Relocation and Creating a Safe Home. They're some of our best sellers. But you go right ahead, Andrew.
Certainly. Well, in our analysis, the third area of instability for the globalist power network is Africa right now. This is of their own doing. They have unleashed another jihadist Islamic monster spawned during the Libyan operation that overthrew Muammar Gaddafi. And this is threatening to be even harder to contain than the new unruly leaders in Libya and Egypt. Sure, they want the conflict in order to justify intervention and interdict China's steady assimilation of resources. But can they control what they have unleashed? Pepe Escobar had the best analysis this week of the background behind the Mali uprising, published in Asia Times. Pepe says, Mali holds 15.8 million people, with a per capita gross domestic product of only around $1,000 a year, an average life expectancy of only 51 years. In a territory twice the size of France, where per capita GDP of 35,000 and upward. Now almost two-thirds of this territory is occupied by heavily weaponized Islamist outfits. So welcome to the latest African war. Chad-based French Mirages and Gazelle helicopters, plus a smatter of France-based Rafalists, bombing evil jihadists in northern Mali. Business is good. French President Francois Hollande spent this past Tuesday in Abu Dhabi clinching the sale of a 60 Rafalist to that Gulf paragon of democracy, the United Arab Emirates. The formerly wimpy Hollande, now enjoying his quote-unquote resolute, determined, tough guy image reconversion, Joel says, funny how these anti-war leftists, like Obama, suddenly show their compliance to globalist instruction once in power. In my book, they were globalists to start with, feigning opposition. End of Joel comment. But in reality, French special forces have been on the ground in Mali since early 2012. Salafi jihadis in Mali have got a huge problem. They chose the wrong battlefield. If this was Syria, they would have been showered by now with weapons, logistical bases, hours of YouTube videos promoting their cause, and all-out diplomatic support by the usual suspects of U.S., Britain, Turkey, the Gulf petro-monarchies, and, oui, monsieur, France itself. Instead, they were slammed by the U.S. Security Council, duly authorizing a war against them. Their West African neighbors are...
Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in just a moment here at...
What good, clean, delicious water that's alkaline high pH that I can make in my own home, and I don't have to carry in all those heavy bottles or case of water. You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. With a Kangen water machine at your fingertips, you and your family can have clean, delicious, ionized, alkaline high pH Kangen water, and so much more. Change your water, change your life. Call Rebecca Starnes at 720-209-9017. Again, 720-209-9017.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest, Andrew Skousen. And Andrew, you pick up the story.
Certainly. So we're talking about Molly and Pepe Escobar from the Asia Times says, to top it all, this is no cakewalk. The Salafi jihadis are flush, courtesy of booming cocaine smuggling from South America to Europe via Molly, plus human trafficking. According to the UN Office of Drugs Control, 60% of Europe's cocaine transits Mali. At Paris street prices, that is worth over $11 billion. Joel says, Europe has its fingers in the African drug trade, just like the CIA has with Mexico and South America, and is in large part responsible for allowing this flow of money, which buys arms for terror. End of Joel comment. It all started with a military coup in March 2012, only 1 month before Mali would hold a presidential election, ousting then-president Amadou Toumani Touré. The coup plotters justified it as a response to the government's incompetence in fighting the Tuareg. The Tuareg-led NMLA, National Movement for the Liberation of Azawad, which is the northern two-thirds of Mali, via one of its leaders, now says it's ready to help the former colonial power, which had long thwarted its drive for independence. The coup leader was one Captain Amadou Haya Sanogo, who happens to have been very cozy with the Pentagon. That included his four-month infantry officer basic training course in Fort Benning, Georgia, in 2010. Essentially, Sanogo was also groomed by AFRICOM under a regional scheme mixing the State Department's Trans-Sahara Counterterrorism Partnership Program and the Pentagon's Operation Enduring Freedom. It goes without saying that in all this quote-unquote freedom business, Mali has been the proverbial steady ally, as in counterterrorism partner, fighting, at least in thesis, al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. Joel says, Western operators run both run terrorists under their control and fight others not under their control. End of Joel comment. Under the last 2 years, Washington's game has elevated flip-flopping to high art. During the second George W. Bush administration, special forces were very active side-by-side with the Tuareg and the Algerians. During the first Obama administration, they started backing the Mali government against the Tuareg, who wants independence for northern Mali. Muammar Gaddafi always supported the Tuareg's independence drive. Since the 1960s, the NMLA agenda has been to liberate Azawad, north Mali, from the central government in Bamako. After the March 2012 coup, the NMLA seemed to be on top. They planted their own flag on quite a few government buildings, and on April 5th announced the creation of a new independent Tuareg country. The quote-unquote international community spurned them, Joel says, as the word got out that Gaddafi was going to be overthrown. Only for a few months later to have the NMLA, for all practical purposes, marginalized, even in their own region, by three other Islamist groups. So meet the players. The NMLA is a secular Tuareg movement created in October of 2011. It claims that the liberation of Azawad will allow better integration and development for all the peoples in the region. Its hardcore fighters are Tuaregs who were former members of Gaddafi's army. But there are also rebels who have not laid down their arms after the 2007-2008 Tuareg rebellion, and some that defected from the Malian army. Those who came back to Mali after Gaddafi was executed by the NATO rebels in Libya carried plenty of weapons. Yet most heavy weapons actually ended up with the NATO rebels themselves, the Islamists supported by the West. The other three Islamist groups are AQIM, the Northern African branch of Al-Qaeda, aligned with the Doctor, Ayman al-Zawahiri, and Mokhtar Belmokhtar, former members of the ultra-hardcore Algerian Islamist outfit, Salafist Group for Prediction and Combat. Belmokhtar was already a jihadi in 1980s Afghanistan. MUJAO fighters are all former AQIM, who expelled the NMLA and took over the city of Gao when it immediately applied the worst aspects of Sharia law. Finally, Ansar ed-Din is an Islamist Tawhid outfit set up last year and directed by Iyad al-Ghali, a former leader of the NMLA who exiled himself in Libya. It's interesting to note, in 2007, Mali President Touré appointed Ghali as consul in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. He was then duly expelled in 2010 because he got too close to radical Islamists. No one in the West is asking why the Pentagon-friendly Sanogo's military coup in the capital ended up with almost two-thirds of Mali in the hands of Islamists who imposed hardcore Sharia law in Ottawa, a gruesome catalog of summary executions, amputations, stoning, and the destruction of holy shrines in Timbuktu. How come the latest Tuareg rebellion ended up hijacked by a few hundred hardcore Islamists? Joel says, same as the West allowed in Egypt and Libya. In terms of conflict creation theory, the French bombing could rally jihadis around the world and lead to, what else, attacks on the West. Once again, the good old global war on terror remains the serpent biting its own tail, Joel says, or so it appears, but it all has a purpose to the powers that be. The Algerian connection. There's no way to understand Mali without examining what Algeria has been up to. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was in Algeria last October trying to organize some semblance of an intervening West African army. Balanda was there in December. The Tuaregs always scared the heck out of Algerians, who could not even imagine the success of a Tuareg national movement in northern Mali. After all, Algeria always viewed the whole region as its own backyard. According to Professor Jeremy Keenan of London University and author of The Dark Sahara and the upcoming The Dying Sahara, Libya was the catalyst of the Azawad Rebellion, not its underlying cause. Rather, the catastrophe now being played out in Mali is the inevitable outcome of the way in which the global war on terror has been inserted into the Sahara Sahel by the U.S., in concert with Algerian intelligence operatives, since 2002. In a nutshell, Bush and the regime in Algiers both needed, as Keenan points out, a little more terrorism, quote-unquote, in the region. Algiers wanted it as the means to get more high-tech weapons, and Bush, or the neocons behind him, wanted it to launch the Saharan front of the war on terror, as in the militarization of Africa as the top strategy to control more energy resources, especially oil, thus winning the competition against massive Chinese investment. This is the underlying logic that led to the creation of AFRICOM in 2008. End quote for now. Joel says, this confirms my major thesis about why the powers that be allowed Islamists to take over the Arab Spring Rebellion.
We're out of time, Andrew. We're out of time. God bless. Talk to you next week. Thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, Dr.
And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. This is Pastor Michael Golden. My wife Danny and I would like to invite you to join us at the Voice of Many Waters Congregation for Amikra HaKodesh, a holy convocation, every Saturday, Shabbat, at 1 p.m. at 3J's Christian Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue in Johnstown. We'll be having praise and worship, fellowship, midrash teaching and study time, followed by an oneg. Check out our website at www.voiceofmanywaters.org. That's voiceofmanywaters.org. Or call us at 1-303-522-3562. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. Or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy the discussion of what's going on in the world today. Joel will be back with us on the 14th of February. Until then, Andrew will be with us. Why is that are we involved in Mali? Well, I must understand that France is simply a surrogate for us. America is dominating that area, and we're going to kill an awful lot of people in the name of maintaining a stable society. If the northern part of the country, Islamists want to secede and have their own country, why can't they do it? Why? Because we dominate Africa, and we are installing people who go along with our one world government. But before we do that, we've got to build up this powerful Islamic Brotherhood, radical Islamists, and then we're going to have a war with them. That'll probably be the basis of World War III. And if you don't see what's going on, if you don't stop and ask, why are we spending all this money killing people throughout the world? Why did we invade Iraq? Because of weapons of mass destruction, when they knew they weren't there. They knew they'd been transferred to Syria. And that's, of course, where Syria got its chemical and biological weapons. And now they're threatening to launch on Israel. In fact, I got a communication on Monday of this week from our representative over in Israel, Cheryl Hancock. And she was saying, of course, that Assad of Syria has instructed his generals that if he, Assad, is killed, why they are to launch a missile attack on Israel. They've got thousands of missiles, and they can put chemical and biological warfare heads on those missiles and devastate Israel. And the people in Israel are frightened to death of that, but nobody ever asked where Assad got his chemical and biological weapons. He got them from Saddam Hussein. Where did Saddam Hussein get them from? Why, we built them. We gave them to Saddam. And then we invaded, of course, Iraq because Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, which we gave him. And you say that doesn't make sense? Ladies and gentlemen, nothing makes sense in the world today unless you understand that there is a small group that's running the world whose goal is not to maintain the sovereignty of our nation, but to merge us into a one-world government. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to read it. You need to get my talk on Agenda 21, the covert plan, because Agenda 21 is the secret plan for the world for this century, and it involves a certain destruction of civilization as we know it. And you say, who in their right mind would want to destroy civilization? And I would say nobody in the right mind, for we're not dealing with people in their right minds. We're dealing with people who are affiliated with the secret societies that have been around for 4,000 years. Get Brotherhood of Darkness and read it, and then, of course, get all the other material we have going into the supernatural, because there is a supernatural component to everything. We live in a visible world, but there's an invisible world. We live in a material world, but there's certainly a mystical world out there. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. What can you do to educate others? Well, you can get a case of my books for $150. That'll give you 64 copies, and you can sell them, lend them. And I suggest you lend them rather than give them away. But get people to understand the true nature of the enemy. The enemy is not certainly in the Muslim world. The enemy is not in Russia or in China. The enemy is here. And they are a subversive element which dominates our nation, controls both political parties, rigged the last election to bring Obama into power, but it didn't really matter. They controlled Romney as well. They completely surrounded him. You need to get our writings. Listen to our program at RadioLiberty.com. You listen 24 hours a day. We do 5 hours of talk radio. Trying to sound the alarm, please, pray for America. But pray for Radio Liberty. The vision of protection is so funny. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.